We have been talking for many, many, many weeks now on the subject of helping people. Helping people. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want you to find verse number 1. Once you have it, why don't you stand with me out of reverence to the Word of God? I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. A very, very simple thought tonight about helping people. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If you'll look back at me, the lesson I'll teach tonight is this: helping people as a good soldier for the Lord or of the Lord. The kids sing about marching in the Lord's army. You and I ought to be soldiers for Jesus Christ. And if we'll be a soldier, we can help people. I'll show you what I mean here. Let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Work in our midst. Take the simple lesson and help it to help us to be better. And God, help us to help people because of it. Holy Spirit of God, control this evening in a unique way, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, soldiers protect people. Soldiers are people helpers. Our mighty captain, our general, is Jesus Christ. I'm going to read to you the oath of enlistment. When a soldier enlists, there's an oath that they take. And I'll put my name in this oath. I, Jeff Owens, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to the regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice, so help me God. Now, notice, if I take the oath of enlistment to become a part of the United States military, I promise to defend the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, the preamble to our Constitution says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our prosperity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. The military, when you become a soldier, you take an oath that you will uphold and defend the Constitution. The Constitution starts out telling us that what we're trying to do is we're trying to provide for the defense and the welfare of people and our country. So, a soldier is out to provide for the defense, they're out to provide for the welfare, they're out to provide for the well-being of the people from their country. Now, we are Americans, we're American citizens, and I have no shame in that. But I have to tell you something, I'm a citizen of a far better country. I'm a citizen of heaven. And my mighty captain, my king, is God the Father, and we have Jesus to lead us. Now, soldiers, though, soldiers are out to help people. They're out to protect people, and they're out for people's safety. In the Bible, there were many, many soldiers mentioned. Some were good, some were not so good. We know of the military man by the name of Joshua. Joshua led in the famous Battle of Jericho. We know of David. David fought as a youth against the Philistine named Goliath. Now, whether we realize it or not, that was two armies that were in battle together. And so what was Joshua doing? There was a defense of God's people that was going on. What was David doing? They were defending and helping God's people. Gideon was a soldier, and he fought the Midianites. And that story was where God felt like Gideon had too many soldiers, and God whittles that army down to a mere 300 people. But what was happening? Gideon was defending and helping people against the enemy called the Midianites. Achan was a soldier. Now, Achan, he wasn't so obedient. As we know, Achan was disobedient. And there was a lot of loss that came when that soldier did not do what a soldier ought to do. The man by the name of Naaman was a soldier. He was a mighty captain, and that captain ended up with leprosy, and he ended up going to the man of God so the man of God could help heal him, but he was a captain in the army. Now, even in the Bible, now today, we have recon, we have the airborne, and you have the Navy SEALs, and you can go on and on with what we would call special forces. David had a group of men called David's Mighty Men. These were an elite fighting group. They were an amazing group of men. There was a whole platoon or a whole group of men, a whole unit that were all left-handed soldiers. And you say, why? Well, they believe that most of them started out right-handed and they got injured in battle, so they learned to use their left arm as well as their right arm. And so they were all in one unit, and you would have considered them a part of the special forces. Goliath in the Bible, the one that David defeated, he was a soldier, but he was a soldier for the wrong side. There were soldiers. There were soldiers that captured and tortured Jesus Christ when he was crucified, that drove the nails in his hands and placed that crown on his head. Now, God, for some reason, has chosen to enlist you and I, and we become a part of the army of the Lord. Now, the army that we have established in the United States of America, that army, it's there to defend. It's there to help. It's not there to hurt. It's there to help. There's a protection that takes place. There's accomplishment that's achieved. All for the sake of truth and right, and for the sake of people. We're considered a part of the army of the Lord. Now, as Christians, we are in a battle. We battle against our flesh. Let me give it to you, and I don't know what's happening, but everybody look right this way. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4 says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Here, God is telling us we're soldiers. We're in a war. Now, you and I, at this point today in our lives, we've not picked up guns and we're not shooting at somebody with a gun. But we're in a battle. We're in a war. It's a spiritual war. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust, and ye have not. Ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." And there God's telling us there's a battle. One of our tools in the war that we're in is our ability to pray and get things from God. You've heard the term becoming a prayer warrior. The word warrior there, it's talking about someone that's a soldier. And God is telling us that you and I, we're soldiers. We're soldiers for the Lord. We're in a battle. Now, we battle our flesh and we battle the devil. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, as abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." Now, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. So, you and I are soldiers. When we look at the soldiers, the Army, the Air Force, the Marines, the Navy, when we look at those that guard our country, I think we take that, at least we should take it personally, they're out there risking their lives for our sake. They're out there keeping us free, and they're out there keeping us safe. They're out there hindering damage and harm from coming upon us and the people that we love. Now, you and I, we're Christians and we're to be Christian soldiers. And we're in a spiritual battle, and we're in spiritual warfare. Now, if a soldier that wears a uniform and carries an M16 or whatever caliber, arms they carry today, if they're out to keep people safe and help people, so much the more then is the Christian soldier out to help people. And so I think you and I, if we'll behave right as soldiers in the Lord's army, we're going to help people. We're going to keep people safe. We're going to keep people out of harm's way. Now, we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read again to you verses 3 and 4. We're just going to glance at these two verses, and I'm going to show you what God refers to and how God refers to the Christian soldier and proper behavior of the Christian soldier. And if you and I will behave right as a Christian soldier, then we're going to help protect the things of God. We're going to help protect people and do right by people. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now, we're going to take a few words at a time, a few phrases at a time, and we're going to look at how God describes this thing of us being a soldier. People, soldiers that are helping people, have got to learn to endure hardness. Notice it said, endure hardness. Let me tell you something, folks. You are a soldier in the Lord's army, and you've got to learn to endure hardness. What do you mean? Don't quit when it gets hard. Don't quit when it gets hard. When it gets emotionally hard in life, don't quit on God. Why? There are people that need help. And you shouldn't, you say, but it's hard. I know it's hard, but God just told us, you're a soldier. You're a soldier in the Lord's army, and you've got to learn to endure hardness. Don't quit when it gets financially difficult. Don't quit when it gets physically difficult. Don't quit when it gets spiritually difficult. God is saying, you're a soldier. And soldiers are enlisted to help keep something safe. Soldiers are enlisted to help people and protect people. And folks, if you're going to be a soldier, it's going to get tough. There's a battle. There's a devil out there. And he's trying to get at us, and he's trying to get at our families, and he's trying to get at our church. He's trying to get at the lost and take them to hell. And he's going to be hard on us. And life's not going to be easy at times. And God said, you want to be a good soldier, you must learn to endure hardness. Say, what's that mean? Keep going. Keep going. So, if you're going to be a soldier that helps people, a soldier for the Lord, you've got to endure hardness. Boy, we live in a day and age where if it's a little bit tough, people want to give up. They just want to give up. Oh, you can't do that. You've got to keep moving forward. You've got to learn to finish what you start and start with the Lord. If something hard has come upon you, you ought to thank God for it. This could be a good challenge. It could be a revealer of what you're made of. It could take your character to a new level. If all you do is what is easy, you're going to turn out to be a soft, unsuccessful person. So, God's soldiers endure hardness. Secondly, those soldiers that want to help people, they're to be good soldiers. You see there the verse, it says this, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier." A good soldier. Do you know there are good soldiers and there are not so good soldiers? There are enough military men in here that would tell you. There were some soldiers that took their job seriously. There are others that did not. Now, I'll tell you what, if I were going to end up in a foxhole, I want to be in a foxhole with a good soldier. If I'm going to end up taking live fire, I want to be around the guys that meant business. I want to be around the ones that took their basic training seriously. And so you ought to want to be a good soldier. Hey, not just a soldier, not just enlisted. Hey, I got to tell you, and again, the military folks here, they could tell you. There are people that enlisted, and you're just asking yourself, why in the world are they in the Marines? Why did they join the Navy? Why in the world did they join the Army? Why in the world did they join the Girl Scouts? I mean, the Air Force. But you wonder, why did they enlist? Now, I've got to tell you, there are people that want to be good soldiers, not just that they're enlisted, and not to be average, but a good soldier. You say, good at what? I think you need to learn to be good with your Bible. I think you need to learn to be good in your prayer life, become a prayer warrior. I think you need to learn to be good at this thing of witnessing or soul winning. I don't know if they still do it. But I was told when you go through basic, they will make you learn to take your rifle apart and put it back together blindfolded. They want you to know your weapon. Now, our weapon is not a rifle. Our weapon is the Word of God. And there are people in here, you need to learn to handle your weapon the right way. Be a good soldier. Why? We're out to help people. We're out to make a difference in somebody's life. We've got a nation that's going to the devil. We need some soldiers of Jesus Christ to decide to be good soldiers. So, to be a good soldier, according to this, we have to endure hardness. To be a good soldier, according to this, we've got to be a good soldier. Be good at what we do. People helping soldiers, thirdly, are soldiers, and they remember that they're soldiers for Jesus Christ. It would help us if we'll remember who we're serving. As you do what you do around the church, I'm glad you do it in such a way that it pleases your pastor. But there's somebody more important than that. I'm glad if you do what you do because you think it pleases the other members of our church. I'm glad of that. But there's somebody more important than that. We are soldiers of or for Jesus Christ. Do what you do in a quality and in a way that it pleases Him. And you ought to realize you're to be fighting for Him, not against Him. We're soldiers of Jesus Christ. Remember who you represent. Hey, I am proud to be an American, but I am even prouder to be a Christian. I am not ashamed of that. And all of us here, we're reminded that we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. He's our captain. He's our leader. Don't forget who the ultimate leader is. Don't forget why you serve. You better remember the bus route. You're to work the bus route for the sake of Jesus Christ. You're to work that nursery for the sake of Jesus Christ. You're to clean in the buildings for the sake of Jesus Christ. You're to do it at a quality, with an intensity, with a desire that it be at a high level of accomplishment. Why? Because of the one that we serve. We're not in just any army. We're in the army of the Lord. And so we ought to act like we're in the army of the Lord. So we need to endure hardness. We ought to be good soldiers. We ought to realize we're not just soldiers, but we're soldiers for or of Jesus Christ. Number four, soldiers that want to help people are instructed here not to entangle themselves with the affairs of this life. It said there in 2 Timothy 2:4, it says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." What does that mean, entangle? It means they don't let themselves get tied down by the affairs of this life. Or they don't let the affairs of this life hold them back. Or they don't let the affairs of this life overly weigh them down. I love the song, "This World Is Not My Home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Folks, let me tell you, we sometimes get way too connected to this world, and we let the things of this world take so much of us, we don't have anything left for Jesus Christ. Let me recommend that you don't let this life restrain you from serving God. We all know you got to go earn some money to pay your bills. But God never intended for money to be the most important thing in your life. You say, what's the most important thing in my life? Jesus, serving God. And so, if you're not careful, you'll make money the biggest thing in your life. I know people that are out making money and money's the most important thing in their life and they don't have time for God, they don't have time for church, they don't have time to tell others about Jesus Christ. You know something? Money's way too important. What have they done? They have entangled themselves in the money of this life. We live in a country and we have an economy where you can own a home. And I'm glad for that. It's a good investment. It's a wonderful thing to do. But I'll tell you something. There are people out there that love their homes so much, they're always working on their house and doing things to their house and spending money on their house and painting this and doing that, which I'm not against any of that. But if you're so caught up in your house that you don't have time for God, you're too caught up in your house. There are people that give all the time in the world to their house, but no time to God. You've entangled yourself in the affairs of this life. You see, we could say that this verse means don't go drinking and smoking and cussing and doing all that, and it probably does mean that. But let me say to the Christian soldier, you're already saved. You ought to know there are some things you ought not be doing. But if we're not careful, we can get so tied up in just living this life that we forget we're to be a soldier in this life for Jesus Christ. Hey, God didn't enlist you to be a civilian for the Lord. He enlisted you to be a soldier for the Lord. So, watch out. Don't let things entangle you. Don't let your house entangle you. Don't let your money entangle you. I'd watch the relationships of life. There are relationships that draw us away from God. Hey, if you get in a relationship that starts pulling you away from God, you may be in the wrong relationship. Be careful now. What is that? You say, but well, I'm not doing anything bad. Hey, if it's keeping you from doing something good, you are now being entangled in the affairs of this life. So, to be a soldier provides protection. A soldier, there's a behavior expected of a soldier because we're out to keep things safe. We're out to help, not hurt. How are we going to do it? We've got to endure hardness as a Christian. We've got to be good soldiers. We've got to remember that Jesus is our captain. We're told not to entangle ourselves in the affairs of this life. Number five, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4, it says that he may please. Now, let me explain. You and I are to please Jesus Christ. You ought to go to work and work not in such a way that it just pleases your boss, but you ought to go to work and work in such a way that it pleases Jesus Christ. When you're away from the church, you're not to, you know, there's some people that they'll come to church and their behavior at church is totally different than their behavior off the property. That's called being a hypocrite. Now, we're all hypocrites to a degree, but I'm going to tell you, there are some people, they are like night and day off the church property. They come to church, they behave, they act, they smell, they dress, they act a certain way, they can leave the property, and you wouldn't even know who they were because of the change in them. That's not how you're supposed to live your life. We are to please Him at church and at home and in the community. You ought to please God. You ought to please God when nobody sees you. You know, if there's something you say, well, I never do this down at the church, then why are you doing it at all? Well, who taught you that you're supposed to do bad off the property, but you come on the property, now you got to clean it up. Now, I do want you to clean it up. You say, well, I just do bad both times. Well, that's not what I had in mind. And that's not what God had in mind either. You need to change the bad. But soldiers that want to be soldiers for Christ, they've got to remember to please their captain. Now, you can thank God that your captain is a captain of love and a captain of compassion. You can find drill sergeants in the physical army that are not as compassionate and loving. But you are to work to please the captain. Who's our captain? It's Jesus Christ. It's our God. Let me go on. Soldiers that want to help people are to please the one. who has chosen them. Do you know something? Do you realize that he has given you a chance to be a soldier in the army of the Lord? You have a chance to make an eternal difference. The Bible says that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You chose to get saved, then he said, I'm going to enlist you and give you a chance to represent me. I'm going to enlist you and give you a chance to serve me. I'm going to enlist you and give you a chance to do something that'll make an eternal difference. Now, those who are soldiers in the Lord's army, we're to take our enlistment duties seriously. I mean, very seriously. You know, I've never been in a foxhole. I've never faced war and a battle. There are people in this room that have. Now, I'll tell you something. When you're at war, every move you make could be life or death for you or for someone else. Now, in Iraq, they're shooting real bullets. When you all leave this church, and you leave here tonight, just so you know, the devil's shooting real bullets. Those are real bullets. There's somebody in here. You know, if you don't do the right thing, somebody's going to follow you, and they're going to end up getting shot by the devil because they're following you around. You better watch how you influence people. You better watch what you do. Life or death. You know, serving God, this thing of being a soldier for Jesus Christ, it can be a life or death thing for people. People's lives are at stake. Fellow soldiers can be wounded just because of how we handle ourselves. You know, you influence someone to go somewhere that they should not go, and the devil takes a shot at him, and he hurts him. He hits him. Now, if you wouldn't have influenced them to put themselves in that situation, maybe they wouldn't have gotten shot. We need to be careful as soldiers. We have our fellow countrymen. Who are they? Our fellow Christians. My goal is that I am to try, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, to keep the people safe. I need to protect the people. Look, that's why, as a pastor, I'll preach things and I'll warn you. And I'll tell you, there's a real devil out there. I'll tell you he's going to shoot at you. I'll tell you that he'll take you out. And I'll tell you that he'll cheat you and lie to you and hurt you and destroy your life. I'll tell you, he'll take you for everything you're worth. Why would I do that? Because I'm a soldier and I should let the people around me, I'm trying to keep them safe. We all ought to be trying to keep the people that serve with us safe. You shouldn't want to lead somebody into harm's way. That's not what a soldier does. A soldier doesn't say, come with me. We may get shot because we're going somewhere where we should not be. But come with me. That's not how a soldier acts. A soldier protects. Leadership, we're to protect. And just your fellow soldiers, keep them safe. Let me say this. If you, in any way, shape, or form, are drawing people from our church away from God, you're a bad soldier, somebody's going to get hurt, and you're going to hold some responsibility for it. We're not to be pulling people away from the protection. We're to be protecting. If anything, we should be pushing them toward holiness, pushing them toward righteousness. If you're pulling someone away from the basics of God, or you're pulling them away from purity, or you're pulling them away from holiness, or you're pulling them away. Hey, if you're pulling them away from separation, you are wrong. Soldiers don't pull people away. They nudge them toward safety. They want them to be safe. They're not trying to make it so they get hurt. Good soldiers are out to protect. That's what they're out to do. So the passage of Scripture that we read is this. It says, thou therefore endure hardness, we looked at that, as a good soldier, we looked at that, of Jesus Christ, there's our captain. Then it said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, don't let things hold you back, don't let things hold you down, that we may please him, not ourselves, not other people, please him who hath chosen us to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. When I think of what our military does for us, they keep us safe. Now we, as soldiers for Jesus Christ, we ought to be keeping the other soldiers that are in our church, the other Christians, we ought to keep them safe. Not only that, we ought to be trying to keep the lost safe. You say, how do we do that? We tell them about Jesus Christ so they can get saved. We ought to be keeping people safe. That's what soldiers do. That's what soldiers do. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you a good soldier? Are you right now pulling someone away from the safety? Is there someone that is lesser of a Christian today than they were a month ago because of your influence? Have you entered their life and helped to justify their misbehavior because of yours? That's not what soldiers do. Soldiers keep people safe. Soldiers are out to salvage. Soldiers are out to make things better, not worse. Who here tonight would say, preacher, this thing of being a soldier for Jesus, I want to take it more seriously. I feel like God has spoken to my heart. Maybe there's an area in your life where you need to work a little bit more about being a soldier that protects but does not hinder. Maybe the affairs of this life have pulled you down. But who here tonight would say God has definitely spoken to my heart about something in this sermon tonight? Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Hands everywhere. God bless you. You may put your hands down. In a moment, I'll ask the pianist to begin to play, and she'll begin to play. Once she begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. There's some of you need to take a little more seriously this thing of being a soldier for Jesus Christ. Some of you don't endure hardness well. The slightest little thing comes in your life and y'all frustrated and ready to quit on God, and you won't do what's hard. Some here need to raise the quality of what you do so you're doing it not for mankind, but you're doing it for God. Somebody here needs to help us get the lost saved. We have an enemy that's out to take them to hell, and you need to get more involved. But God spoke in your heart. If you need the altar, I want you to come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. Are you a good soldier? Hey, the people that you say you care about, are you helping them to become more like Jesus or less? Are the people that you say you love, are they better Christian because of you? Or are they becoming a worse Christian because of you? If they're becoming a worse Christian because of you, that's not good soldiering. You'll learn right away, you get around those that have been trained in the military. They're supposed to try to help keep each other safe and keep civilians safe. They want to keep the innocent safe. Keep the innocent safe. Be a good soldier. Don't get entangled with the affairs of this life. Realize who you're to please. Realize who enlisted you. You ought to take your military obligations in the army of the Lord as seriously as a soldier would that was in battle, knowing that somebody's life is at stake, knowing that somebody could be maimed, somebody could lose an arm, lose a leg, they could be hurt, because we don't do our part as soldiers. One more time through the song, and we'll be done. Ushers, if you'll make sure if there are extra prayer bulletins, make sure we're ready with them.